Good morning. Thank you for the introduction. So the turfgrass industry across the United States is an estimated $40 billion industry. In Pennsylvania alone, there are approximately 600 to 800 different golf courses which are designated by the flags in this map. And $1.8 billion is spent annually on the establishment and maintenance of managed turfgrass systems. So it's such an economically important cropping system and industry across the United States and within Pennsylvania. Today I'll be talking about dollar spot, one of the most economically important diseases in turfgrass. So dollar spot is caused by the fungal ascomycete pathogen Sclerotinia homeocarpa. Dollar spot symptoms include 3 to 5 centimeter diameter spots in the turfgrass canopy. These spots may coalesce and form larger patches in higher cut turf. And you may also see the characteristic hourglass-shaped lesion on the leaf blade. The sign of Sclerotinia homeocarpa is the production of abundant aerial mycelium, which is cotton-like and typically present and observed early in the morning when dew is present on the turfgrass canopy. Sclerotinia homeocarpa is an asexual pathogen. It does not produce spores of any type in the field. It's typically disseminated through the movement of infected leaf blades and or through mycelium. So while cultural practices have been found to reduce dollar spot severity, repeated and frequent fungicide applications are typically required to reach adequate control. Because of this, resistance development has become a major issue. Single resistance and cross resistance has been documented in benzimidazole, dicarboxamides, and dimethylase inhibitors, and now there's even discussion of resistance development in the SDHIs. Multi-drug resistance, which refers to an isolate or a population that's developed resistance to multiple chemistries within different chemical classes, has also been reported. So an example of that would be an isolated population that is resistant to the benzimidazoles and the DMIs would portray a 2 MDR profile or phenotype. And then there's even isolate populations that's been reported. There's 3 MDR phenotype in which an isolate is resistant to the benzimidazoles, DMIs, and dicarboxamides. So researchers are always trying to gain a better understanding of this complex phenomena of fungicide resistance. And to do this, they typically try to relate other biological characteristics of fungicide insensitivity to gain a better understanding of population dynamics. So one example of this is using vegetative compatibility group assays. Vegetative compatibility group assays are typically used in asexually reproducing fungi as a measure of interspecies diversity. In some species, like Botrytis and Fusarium, which reproduce sexually, due to the frequent genetic recombination and spore production, they found very high vegetative compatibility group diversity. They've also been able to relate these different VCGs with different levels of fungicide insensitivity. In Sclerotinia homeocarpa, there's even a study that found a population split into 2 genetic subgroups that were vegetatively incompatible and differed in fungicide sensitivity. So the objectives of my study were to characterize the in vitro MDR profiles throughout PA and the surrounding region. We were interested in determining the vegetative compatibility diversity throughout our collection, and then examine the potential relationship or association between VCGs, fungicide insensitivity, and geographic region. So to do this, we collected 673 isolates from Pennsylvania and the surrounding region. These samples were from cool season hosts and were collected from greens, tees, fairways, and rough. In Pennsylvania, we split up the state into 7 regions. We had the Erie, Pittsburgh, Central, Harrisburg, Scranton, Allentown, and Philadelphia region. We took these 673 isolates and ran them in an in vitro fungicide assay using fungicide-amended PDA. We conducted an initial run to determine discriminatory concentrations following a protocol outlined by Joe et al. In 2006. This initial run was conducted with 101 isolates, and we used 10-fold serial dilutions carried out in sterile water for propiconazole, iperdone, and boscalid, and these concentrations were from previous literature from Oak et al. In 2011. This initial run included 4 replications, was arranged as a CRD, and we used proba transformation analysis to determine the effective fungicide concentration resulting in a 50% reduction in mycelial growth, or EC50. So from this initial run, we were able to determine the discriminatory concentrations to be 0.1, 1, and 1,000 micrograms AI per mil of PDA for propiconazole, iperdone, and boscalid, respectively. These are the concentrations we use in this high-throughput assay. And then for thiophanamethyl, we use the 1,000 micrograms of AI concentration because of the qualitative nature of resistance to this fungicide and the backing in previous literature. So this high-throughput experiment included 3 replications and was arranged as a CRD. For data collection, we gathered 48-hour colony diameter in 2 directions. we gathered the relative mycelial growth values, and that was the growth of an isolate on fungicide-amended PDA relative to the growth of an isolate on unamended PDA. And then we also determined the EC50 values for each isolate. So throughout all of our analysis, we compare our isolates to a baseline population, which is from the Vineyard Golf Club in Massachusetts. This golf course has never been sprayed with a synthetic fungicide, so it served as our baseline for sensitivity. So for all of my in vitro results I'll be presenting, I'm using these box and whisker plots. So the setup is going to remain the same for propiconazole, iprodione, and boscalid. On the y-axis is going to be the average relative mycelial growth. On the x-axis is going to be the 45 different golf courses we sampled from. I use numbers in this case rather than letters because the golf course names and letters really cluttered the graph. So this population here is representative of the Vineyard Golf Club, and this is our baseline for sensitivity. So all of our analysis is relative to this population. The middle bar within the box is the mean. The upper and lower bounds are the 95 and 5% confidence intervals, and then the black dots are the outliers. So here are the results for the sensitivity for propiconazole. The colors represent are designated for each region throughout Pennsylvania, and then other are our outgroup golf courses, which are from the surrounding states. The asterisks above each golf course represent the golf courses that were statistically higher in relative mycelial growth relative to our baseline population. So they were considered insensitive to propiconazole in this in vitro assay relative to our baseline. So from this, you can see 37 out of 45 golf courses were considered to be insensitive to propiconazole relative to our baseline population. We had some populations like this one here that had a pretty low variation and high mean, others that had a low mean and low variation, and then some golf courses had a very wide variation yet they were still considered statistically significant compared to our baseline population. And the reason for this variation is because we gathered samples from greens, tees, fairways, and rough, and a lot of these lower bound values are representative of our rough samples. So for iprodione now, only 35 out of 45 golf courses were considered to be insensitive to iprodione relative to our baseline population. And for iprodione, there's generally much less variation across the 45 different golf courses. And now for boscalid, you can see 16 out of 45 golf courses were considered to be insensitive to boscalid in this in vitro assay relative to our baseline population. So again, this is, you know, an in vitro analysis relative to our baseline population. We're not necessarily saying that at these golf courses there's like rampant boscalid reduced insensitivity in the field. However, some isolates like this one and some populations or golf courses like this one are definitely of interest to conduct greenhouse or field studies to investigate their reduced field efficacy. So now looking at the in vitro fungicide results by the different regions, this 3D scatter plot represents the average relative mycelial growth of isolates within each region. On the and then we have propiconazole, iprodione, and boscalid average relative mycelial growth on the X, Y, and Z axis. So we have three populations grouped into this high category here, one of which was from Pennsylvania and Scranton. The remaining six populations within Pennsylvania grouped into this medium category here, and then three regions grouped into this low category along with our baseline for sensitivity from Massachusetts. The table on the right is region, the golf courses from each region, and then the number of isolates from each region as well, and then the percent resistant to thiophenate methyl. I'll show you this just to show you that there's a pretty wide range of resistance to thiophenate methyl, from 22% all the way up to 90%, and some regions like Scranton, which were in this high category in the 3D scatter, only had 41% resistance, whereas some regions like Central only had 90%, had all the way up to 90% resistance to thiophenate methyl. So to conclude the in vitro assay, we found 93% of our isolates portrayed this 2, 3, or 4 MDR phenotype in vitro. 42% of these portrayed the 4 MDR phenotype, and we saw widespread insensitivity throughout PA and the surrounding area. And these MDR profiles were definitely prevalent from our sampling and may pose a serious issue for superintendents. So next, we use vegetative compatibility group assay for the 673 isolates. We used red food coloring amended PDA poured into 115 by 15 millimeter petri plates. And you can see the diagram on the right, which represents how we set it up. Each unknown isolate was paired with a tester isolate belonging to the known vegetative compatibility groups A to K. And these were obtained from Dr. Udine at Penn State and characterized in 2004 by VG and Udine. They were incubated for 10 to 15 days, and then the mycelial interactions were scored as either incompatible, which is characterized by a wide gap or a line gap formation, or the formation of a barrage wall, or compatible, in which the mycelia fuse and seamlessly interact at the interaction zone. So from our VCG assay, we were able to recover 9 out of the 11 known VCGs. However, only 8 out of the 11 were present throughout Pennsylvania. 71% of these grouped into VCGs B, C, and K. And 110 of our isolates grouped into this VCG we're just calling X. And this is just a group of isolates that were incompatible against all known 11 tester isolates. So from our VCG assay, we saw a diverse representation of these known VCGs. However, 71% grouped into VCG B, C, and K. And 16% of them were incompatible to the all known isolates belonging to A to K. So that may represent new VCG groups. And then we didn't see a pattern associated with VCG distribution throughout Pennsylvania, in that no one VCG grouped to one region. So now to explore the vegetative compatibility group results and our in vitro association. This table, the left-hand column is the VCG, the N is the number of isolates within each VCG, and then I have the five different in vitro phenotypes. So none represents the percent of isolates that were sensitive to all four fungicides we screened. Single represents the percent of isolates that were only insensitive to one of our fungicides, and then the 2, 3, and 4 MDR phenotypes. So in the red cells show the 0% representation within each VCG, and the blue cells represent the highest values within each VCG. So as you can see, there's a heavy representation in the 3 and 4 MDR phenotype within each VCG. And some groups like E had pretty even distribution throughout all the phenotypes. So to conclude, the in vitro fungicide insensitivity is an issue throughout Pennsylvania and the surrounding region. We had populations portraying 2, 3, and 4 MDR profiles at high frequencies. We had diverse representation of the known VCG groups. However, so you remember 71% grouped into B, C, and K. And then regardless of VCG, a high percentage displayed this 3 or 4 MDR phenotype. For future work, we're currently pairing these isolates belonging to VCGX to potentially characterize new VCG groupings. And we'd also like to utilize a knit mutant assay to further refine those results. And then the obvious next step would be conducting greenhouse or field trials from these isolates or golf courses that have these high in vitro insensitivity values, just to try to associate that those levels with a reduced field efficacy for these fungicides. And then I believe we need to refine the Boscoid assay for detecting reduced field efficacy. And that may mean using a different media. I know some groups are using minimal medias, different concentrations, or a different method altogether, maybe relying on a molecular assay rather than the in vitro poison plate assays. So with that, I'd like to thank my committee members, my lab mates, and the undergraduate workers who took major part in this presentation and research. Thank you. Yes.
Did you record which species of grass each of those isolates came off of?
The question was, did we record which species of grass the isolates were sampled from? Yes, we did. They were majority from cool season. They were all from cool season hosts, and the majority were from creeping bent grass.
Did you sort of break down the analysis at all into either which isolates came from, you know, putting green versus fairway, you know, versus rough? You mentioned in some of the box of whiskers at the lower end of rough samples. In addition, did you also break down any analysis by the spray history at that particular course?
Right. The question was, did we split up our analysis by the different management locations or areas, whether it be greens, tees, fairways, rough? And did we separate it by
spray
history? So yes, we did. We've analyzed our data by management area, and we found that the samples that were from fairways probably had the most insensitive, highest insensitivity values, areas like the rough, which don't receive a lot of fungicide application typically at the golf courses we sampled from, behave very similarly to our baseline population. So we have analyzed the data in that way, but we did not collect the spray history. That's typically tough to get in superintendents. So.
All right, that's all the time we have. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thank you.